Our scripture is from Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock.
Good morning. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. What a blessing it is to be here with you. Just a few weeks ago, we were blessed with what was called a strawberry moon. Was anybody here able to see that? Oh, we saw one. Two? Good. It was very bright, but at 4 in the morning, I sure didn't see anything pink about it. Then just this past Thursday night, we had a supermoon, the last one of the year. And we were supposed to see a significant meteor shower on the same night. I was up around midnight and did see a very bright moon, but I saw no stars falling. Did anybody see anything in that regard? Yeah, the moon was very bright. Perhaps it was all this cosmic activity, shall we say, that set me to thinking about our perception of time and its value. Quite recently, we've been given a revised time estimate in regard to the age of our universe. This has been promoted by the scientists who are following the latest addition to NASA's James Webb Space Telescope. Just this week, I read that they are seeing some of the oldest galaxies ever. Yes, the latest estimates on age and what is being seen within our universe is now pegged at 290 million years after the Big Bang. Is it possible that this could be true? I don't think so. What is it that compels human beings to try to explain the measurement of time on the divine creation of God's universe? Let's not forget that this part of the same science that endorses and promotes the theory of evolution. So this morning, we will consider the subject of time, but just for a few moments. We can all think of an occasion when it seems as though there was just not enough time. Yet, periodically, we let time go to waste. There are times that we wish we could just do over. Time is the one item that we all have an equal amount of, just so long as we are living. There have been a number of interesting and insightful statements about the element of time made over the years. I'm sure you've heard many of them before. A few examples for you. A stitch in time saves nine. Once upon a time. So much to do, so little time. Only time will tell. Having the time of my life. Time is running out. And of course, there's many more examples that you can think of. I actually had listed about 20 of these one-liners on time, but someone who I asked to critique my first draft said it would be a waste of time to tell them all. I'll give you a hint. It's the same person who said, it's time for you to get a haircut. But how about the first line you learned in typing class? Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Or what you learned in literature class? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. What your parents often told you, always do your best to be on time. In reference to the end of all things, it's only a matter of time. In reference to your relationship with Jesus, one day at a time. In reference to legal matters, time is of the essence. Now, referring to your doctrine, your faith, your beliefs, withstanding the test of time. Or how about the Sabbath day? A palace in time. in reference to the circumstances seen on the horizon, the time of trouble. How about these cultured songs from long ago? The times they are a-changin'. It's the time of the season. Time is on my side. No time left for you. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Or how about this song title with its opening line? Does anybody really know what time it is? Following quickly is a second line, does anybody really care? This piercing question does seem to fit the spiritual condition of our culture quite suitably these days. Of course, there are many more songs which contain the word time and its related references. Then there are the time reference songs from our hymnal, I Need Thee Every Hour. In the sweet by and by, the Savior is waiting. In a little while, we're going home. Amen. Now the day is over. 'Tis almost time for the Lord to come, when the roll is called up yonder. Amen. And of course, there are very many more. In fact, I counted up over 30 hymns that were time-related from our own hymnal. And I appreciated when I heard this morning, Phil was up here singing Moment by Moment. Yeah. There's so many different things that are related to time. Margaret Peters once wrote, time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. Harvey McKay said, time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Michael Ochsler wrote, the bad news is that time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. So, if we're all accountable to God for the time that we have given, what will I say to my advocate one day as he indicates that he would have liked to spend more time with me? I don't think he will understand why I preferred to spend my time on those exceedingly essential media devices, as in distortion, distraction, deception, devices. Time is a gift that is extremely precious. It is perhaps only exceeded in value by the gift of choice that has been given to each one of us. I thought this morning it would be of value to see what the scriptures have to say about the element of time. To begin with, we note that there are over 500 references to the word time in the King James Bible. We won't be reviewing those today. But there are undoubtedly some significant thoughts which were inspired by the Holy Spirit, intended for those who are living in the last days. From scriptures, we read about moments, hours, days, months, years, centuries, millennia, eternal ages, and forever. Yet we find that our culture measures time in milliseconds, foregoing the recognition of the more far-reaching time elements that carry us into forever. Are we dealing with a different perspective on time these days? Could it be that we are endorsing and promoting an earthly perspective rather than a heavenly perspective on time? Could very well be that we are. Seems there are a couple ways, at least, that time is referenced in the Bible. First of all, it's used directly in mention of the time element itself. Moments, hours, days, years, etc. These increments are especially important when reckoning time from the Old Testament perspective, where chronological order is so important. As you recall, the Old Testament covers a time period that is approximately 3,600 years. The New Testament, by comparison, covers a time span of less than 100 years. And of course, there's also a prophetic time, which covers forever, if you stop and think about it. Additionally, time is referenced by using a word or phrase that deals with a description of time. Examples would be words like moments, quickly, soon, seasons, forever, eventually, finally, always, or prophecy. Of course, there's a few words that seem to have the element of time built right into them. And a good example would be hope. So would be wait or endure and eternal. So who invented time and who controls it? The book of Genesis informs us that God set up our weekly timetable when he made this planet. We can read of the account there in Genesis where God divides the evening from the morning as he made the heavenly lights. Genesis 1:14 says, "And God said, let bright lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. These will be signs to mark off the seasons, the days, and the years." New Living Translation. So right from the beginning, God saw to it that there would be a purpose for measuring the time element. The very first mention of the word time in the Bible is found in Genesis 4:3 as it describes Cain's activities. Here it mentions that in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering to the Lord. Apparently, up until that occasion, the passing of time was not deemed to be purposeful information. We may also note at this juncture that the first book of the Bible which was written was the book of Job. You will notice that the first sentence of this account begins, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job." For years I've thought that that just sounds an awful lot like once upon a time. The very last mention of the word time in the Bible is in Revelation 22:10. Here the angel once again informs John that he is not to seal up those things which he was shown, for the time is at hand. What time would that be? Time of the end, that's right. Significant emphasis is added to this final thought as we see that Jesus himself states three times within the last 15 verses of the Bible that he is coming quickly. Now, in addition to these references, there are a couple of examples in the Bible when God saw that it was necessary to alter the established time sequence. The first example is the time when Joshua asked God for help in defeating the kings of southern Canaan. In Joshua 10, verse 12 through 14, we read the summary of these associated events. Joshua 10, 12 to 14, reading from the New Living Translation. "On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, 'Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still until the Israelites had defeated their enemies. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky, and it did not set as in a normal day. Never before or since has there been a day like that one when the Lord answered such a request from a human being." End of quote. Second time-altering example can be found in 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 11. Who is that with? Hezekiah, that's right. You may recall that King Hezekiah was in the intensive care unit. He was critically ill. The Lord told him through the prophet Isaiah to get his affairs in order as he was about to die from his illness. This prompted the king to break out in tears as he reminded the Lord that he had always tried to do what was right in God's eyes. The end result was that God heard and answered the king's prayer and added 15 more years to his life. As a sign of proof that he would be healed and that his life would be extended, God caused the sun to retreat 10 steps backward at the local sundial. So far as we know, these two examples are the only break in the time cycle that God set for the planet Earth in the beginning. Some years later, though, it is recorded farther along in the scripture, David advises us of the import of paying attention to our own allocation of time as he prayed the following prayer in Psalms 90, verse 12. "Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom." This text seems to indicate that there's a rather serious component to this aging process which we all seem to be familiar with. Suddenly, I might add. David's son, Solomon, took the time to write a rather lengthy paragraph on time, explaining that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Additionally, he said, "He, God, hath made everything beautiful in its time." You'll find that reference in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 15. So how does God measure time? Aside from the measuring instruments that have already been given, we are informed in 2 Peter 3:8 that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Peter seems to have a feel for the ticking of the divine clock, as he wrote in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Several texts from Scripture dealing with time seem to indicate a certain level of urgency in their message. Paul reflects this as he writes in Romans 13, verse 11, "Another reason for right living is that you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." In 2 Corinthians 6:2, he writes, "For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation." In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, he advises, "See then that ye walk circumspectly," or cautiously, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Then finally, John cautions us, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." 1 John 2:18. We might take notice here that God always does business in accordance with his strategic plan. Galatians 4:4 indicates that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ himself gave precise notice at the beginning of his ministry when he announced, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." Reference Matthew 4 and Mark 1. Now let's take the next few moments to drill down a bit on a couple of what I would call premium references to time that we have been blessed with from Scripture. The first reference is the phrase, "the time of trouble." There are actually 17 references to this phrase in the Bible. We won't be reviewing all of them today, but several chapters will be mentioned that would make for a wonderful theme for you to explore and investigate. Another word for that is study. In addition, the book Great Controversy has an entire chapter on this subject, chapter 39, that is very informative. It seems today that there are some who believe we are living in the time of trouble just now. Many Christians are considering that as a probability. Yet from the worldly perspective, there may be some who believe we are living in the best of times. There's plenty of food on the table, in the cupboard or in the freezer. There's a great source of water for our every need. Plenty of stores or the 5G internet from which to shop and stay informed. A warm and comfortable home with a good cable connection as our CityLink. A well-tuned automobile and a check from our good friends in the government arrives right on time every single month. Sorry to say that this is the way many Christians measure sanctified living. Take a moment to consider how things appear from a heavenly perspective. How does God view what is going on just now. Could it be that we are today actually living in the absolute worst of times from heaven's perspective? Consider this question as you go about your duties this week. Several places of the Bible mentions the various characteristics of the time of trouble. We know that from the description of the civilizations at the time of the Great Flood and of the cities of the plain that there will be a significant parallel in wickedness, immorality, and violence in these last days. Reference Genesis 6, 2 Peter 2, and Jude 7. Matthew 24, verse 12 tells us that a prominent feature of these troublesome times will be the prevailing lawlessness that causes the love of many to run cold. Consider the immense display of lawlessness that is happening in the world today. The question we must ask ourselves this morning is this: does the lawlessness that we are seeing today qualify from the heavenly perspective for the time of trouble that is predicted for the end times on our planet? Daniel 12:1 informs us that there will come a time of trouble such as there never was since there was a nation. Are we experiencing unprecedented lawlessness on our planet today? Are we dealing with wickedness, immorality, and violence that match or exceed the time just before the Great Flood or the destruction of the cities of the plain? Since we don't know a lot of detail on how bad it was then, I guess we'll consider that a rhetorical question. We do know, however, that things are getting pretty treacherous in the here and now. Furthermore, we are blessed now to have the various perspectives of Jesus Christ on the time of trouble, as he noted in Matthew 24:25, Mark 13, and Luke 17:21. Additionally, Paul informs us in 2 Timothy 3:1-9 of these specific evils that will be found within the Christian church in those perilous and dangerous last days. Finally, the book of Revelation has a significant volume of information on the difficulties, the challenges, the troubles and tribulations of the last days. These are variably listed in Revelation chapter 3 and in chapters 13 to 18. Particular interest for many today is the first portion of Revelation 18 and its description on the events of the end times. I want to encourage you to read and study these aforementioned references. They will collectively be of significant value for you. Because of the rather solemn uncertainty of our times, I find that the most crucial and beneficial text on this subject for me personally was read as our scripture reading, Psalm 27, verse 4 and 5. Listen to this again just now. One thing I have desired from the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. There's a lot of things that are a mystery about the time of trouble. Many unknown details in its regard. There is one for certain. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me away with him. Now, can you think of anything more blessed than to be hidden away in God's residence during the time of trouble? Actually, I think you will be blessed by the next example just as much as you are by this one. Second time-related reference for our thoughts this morning is the word eternity. Do you ever find yourself thinking about eternity? Admit it. Raise your hand if you do. Amen. It's an important word. It's a great word. I know that you would agree on that. Now, here's an important question for you. Would it be good for you to know where your new address will be located forever? Are you aware that eternity will someday be your permanent address? Yes, it's a real location where you will one day reside. Eternity is the address where we are going to spend forever. This very descriptive word surely is an important time reference for us. Yet, the word eternity is found only once in Scripture. Where is it found? This particular text is found at the beginning of the paragraph that addresses the God who forgives the repentant. Turn to Isaiah 57:15 to read what the Scriptures have to say in the only Bible reference to eternity. Reading now from the New Living Translation, "The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. The Holy One says this, I live in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give courage to those with repentant hearts." Where does God live? In eternity. That's right, Don. According to this text, God lives in eternity. Perhaps his home address is listed as Eternal One. Did you catch the criteria for living there with him? He lives there with those who are contrite, humble, and refreshingly encouraged as they turn away from their sins. Yes, the Bible states that God's address is found in eternity. Now, the best part of it is this. He wants you and me to live there in eternity with him forever. Can you think of anything more blessed than living in eternity with God? Understand that he doesn't just have some sort of a pipe dream that you will someday, by coincidence, end up living there with him. God has personally engaged in and continues to actively invest massive resources just to get you there. Through his love for you, which, as David put it, endures forever, he has spent heaps of time, talent, treasure, just so that you can occupy eternity with him. Just think of it. Can you imagine what he has in store for you? Actually, you can't. The Bible says it's impossible. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has been written into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. So this morning, I trust that you have purposed in your heart to be there, to find out precisely what it is that he has planned for you. Our benediction this morning is from Jude 24 and 25. Glory to him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe into his glorious presence, innocent and happy. Amen. To God, the only God who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the majesty, the authority, and the power which he had before time began, now and forever. Amen.